preacher. And the children's church must lead. That is right. Thank you, lady. No problem. All right. Excited. Some of us older folks need to be like this. Okay. What in the world is this fellow doing up here? Well, I was saved back in 1975, became a Christian, and I am a sinner saved by grace. I don't have it all together. I don't have it all figured out. Never have, never will. But I know, and you, if you're a Christian, you know the same thing. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because of Him, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have been doing a ministry. I did it for a little over 10 years up at Oakwood at the nursing home. I went up there every Sunday morning, and for an hour I'd do what we are doing here this morning. I'd do the music with a lady leading the music, me playing the guitar, and then we would have a time of teaching, and I'd do that. But you know that was stopped back in March, and I haven't been up there since then, and I don't know if there will be any time that we'll be able to go back up there. I don't know. But we'll just have to see what God does there. But I want to take this time, too, and I want to thank Brother Grant. He asked me to do this about 6 weeks ago. Folks, it's been nagging me for all that time. You know when you're going to supposed to get up and say something, again, it's on your mind and you're thinking, and it leaves and it comes back. So I've had plenty of time to think about this thing. As a matter of fact, almost yesterday, got up and changed the total message and went another way. I started to do that, and then the Lord said, "Nope, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to do what I told you to do." So that's what I'm going to do this morning. So bear with me, and today, if I'm lifted up, we're in trouble. If you listen to me, we're in trouble. If we can all hear from the Lord as we look at His Scripture and what He's got to say, I think He's given a good message, and no doubt through His Word, we get guidance and direction in our lives. Again, I want to thank Pastor Grant for allowing me to come up here and speak. And I thank the world of him. We've got a great pastor, don't we, folks?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he's at home with Dad taking care of him. So hello, Pastor. Good to see you. And the surgery went well, and everything's going good there. Okay, but a lot of pain in the recovery process. Dad had knee surgery and had the total knee replacement. Okay. I'm going to try this. Pastor usually tells a joke. I can mess a joke up. I can really do one in. But anyhow, I looked online trying to see what was the best thing. And I found one, and I'd heard a preacher using it once before. And anyhow, there's this robber breaks into this house, and he hears this little voice saying, "Jesus is watching." You know what that is. So it goes on a little further, and anyhow, he comes up to this parrot's cage, and he said, "Did you say that?" He said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "What's your name?" He said, "Clarence." He said, "What kind of crazy people would name a parrot Clarence?" He said, "The same kind of people name an 80-pound Rottweiler Jesus." So I didn't mess it up too bad. this world that we live in, a lot of us have that question, what is going on? And like I say, just interacting, looking on Facebook, I see that there's so much concern out there for the direction of our nation and the godly principles that we stand for and that we're looking to continue to have, and there's a lot of concern there. Again, what do we do? What is the problem out there? Well, if you want to follow me, now I didn't get with Keegan and get the scripture put up on the screen. I'm going to just use my iPad here. If y'all okay with that, I do that. I can find it. But in Revelation, I'm going to start out in Revelation 12 today. And Revelation 12 says in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And listen, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he was in heaven. He was an angel, but he decided he wanted to do things his way. And so what happened to him? We just read, he was cast out of heaven. So, okay, he was cast out of there. Where'd he go? Look down verse 12. Rejoice, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, when Satan was cast out of heaven, where'd he end up? Right here where we are. He ended up right here. And the Bible says that he knows that he has but a short time. So he's out there. And we're going to look at some more scriptures to go along with this, but he is the problem. He is what's tearing this world up, tearing this nation up. He is behind it. And his intent is to destroy you and me and this nation and this world. And he surely don't want anybody to get saved, because he wants as many people to go with him as he can get to go with him as possible. I heard a preacher say that 95% of Americans believe there's a God. 30%, and where he got his numbers, I don't know, but 30% believe there's a devil. And a lot of times, we want to paint a picture of him with horns, and he's red, and he's got a pointed tail, and he's bad-looking, rough-looking thing. So, could we today agree that there is a devil, and that he is opposing us, folks, on every hand? He is opposing us. We are fighting him. We are not fighting each other so much. We shouldn't be, but we're fighting him. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, yeah, he is in control. He is taken care of. Gary, what'd you say Wednesday night? He does what?
God has a plan.
God has a plan. Gary, how many times you have us say that? About 10? but he teach a while. He did a good job Wednesday night, and then he'd say, "Now what? Say it with me." God has a plan, and he does. Now, let's go now to 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Folks, you are not by yourself. You are not by yourself fighting this battle. It says here in the scripture, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren all over this world. It's fighting this battle against this prince and power of the air that he's going about as a roaring lion. How does he show himself to you? Anything that he can bring between you and the Lord and get you to put all your mind and thought and energy on that would replace the Lord, whether that be good, bad, or ugly, is what he wants to do. He wants to keep you and he wants to keep me in neutral. He doesn't want us to let our little light shine. He wants to keep them snuffed out. He wants to, when somebody says something about the times we're living in, he wants us to, oh, it's so tough, it's so bad. And folks, it is, but is that what he wants us to portray to a world that needs to know about Jesus? That it's all over and done with? Because it's not. God is in control. And it's not over and done with. And we need to let our light shine to a world again. Sorry for repeating myself, but it's something we just got to do that. To let a world know about Jesus. Because that is what Satan doesn't want the world to know about is Jesus. And he's going to do everything within his power to keep that sinner from being saved. He's going to do everything within his power to keep you and me straddling the fence. Oh, you can't straddle the fence. Well, sometimes we don't stand for the Lord and do what he tells you to do. And kind of already mentioned this scripture, but Ephesians 2 and 2. I already said a little bit about it, but and I'll go back to 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, as before you got saved, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So that being the case, who would be the children of wrath right now? Those that don't know the Lord. How should you look at those around about us that don't know him? Should we look down our long spiritual noses and say, no, I'm not having anything to do with you. You don't think like I think. You don't act like I act. You don't look like I look. Therefore, get your tattoos or your whatever and go on. Whatever it is that bothers you about a person, is that the way? And we know it's not because Jesus was not that way. Okay. Where? Some places that Satan has shown himself. I want to go to Genesis 3, 1 through 6. You're there. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman. And who is the serpent here? It's the devil. This is where he come out and showed himself first. We might say in the scripture, he come out as a servant. And so he started this situation called sin. So he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, oh, this is better now. So this is what I need. So she ate of it, and her husband did too. We know the rest of the story, what happened there. That was Satan. Got them off track, come in, deceive them. See, he does us the same. Well, you know, that thing's really not that bad. You can do that. And there are some give and takes in situation. I've been told I'm black and white, you know, on things. It's either right, wrong, black, white, whatever. That's the way I'm Mr. Serious. I always have been, and that's the way it goes. But there's leeway in Christianity. We don't want to be so rigid and so strict that we can't let loose and worship our Lord. But let's just make sure that we're not allowing this devil, who's for real, who's going about seeking, whom he may devour, he may destroy, he may hide their light. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. Next scripture we're going to look at is Matthew 4, 8 through 10. And this is when Jesus had come to the earth. He'd been baptized. He went off into the wilderness. He was there 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says. And here, again, it says, this is not the first thing that the devil said to him, but it's one I want to take just a minute on today. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Why was Satan able to give that to the Lord? Because he's prince and power of the air. He's here. He said, you worship me, and I'll give you my realm. He tells you, I'll give you the world if you'll follow me, if you'll do what I want you to do. The way I want you to do it, don't worry what the Bible says. Don't worry about what Pastor Grant says. Don't matter what, but you do it the way I want you to do it, and I'll give you the world. But see, when we get that world, when that world, that stuff, nothing will make us happy in this earth there, except Jesus Christ. There is a need in every human being's heart to be filled. And that need in each one of us is the need of Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
And we try to find it in a lot of different places, doing, achieving, buying, getting, accomplishing. Look at me, I've done this, I've done that, I'm big old whatever. It's not there. It's in the Lord. And so we need to always look to him. And but he was going to give this earth to the Lord. Jesus said, get behind me. You know, well, I'll tell this. There was a time in my life that I was going through some tough times, kind of down and out, really really bothered. And I was working, and I didn't want to go out and see him in my stores. And I had 12 stores I was responsible for and run here and there. And I supervised them. And I went to Citronelle, didn't go to the store, went outside the town. And I found a little side road out there, and I went down that side road, and there's a little pond over here. And I was not doing well. Christian, I'm fighting this battle. And I sat there, and I prayed, and I said, Satan, get thee behind me, off my back, and leave me alone. In Jesus' name, Satan, leave me alone. Folks, things got, had I done that before? Maybe so. But that particular time, I really meant it. He knew I really meant it. And I began to come out of that place that I was in. You may have been in places like that, that you needed the help of the Lord. And Satan is going to put his thumb on you. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you down. He's going to do that. But again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. John 15, 18 and 19. Starting in verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And who's talking here? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he says, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it did you. If you were the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See, we're in worldly places. I think about our young people back there that are in school. And they're in situations. And back a long time ago, I was in school. Been a long time ago. And I remember, you know, you want to stand. And I was brought up, I've told y'all before, I had a terrible drug problem when I was a kid. My mom drove me to church every Sunday. And we got some sitting back there right now has the same problem. Mom and Dad, in my case it was my mom, drove me to church every Sunday, and I was there. But yet, I was in environments of temptation, of folks that didn't know the Lord, and the words you have to hear, the situations you have to be in. You say, well, if I'm not a part of it, they won't accept me. If I'm not a part of it, I can't make it. But see, the Lord tells us to take a stand for him. You know, when I was young, like the young folks here, I thought life would never end. Folks, nowadays, my age, some of you are older than me, time is going like this, isn't it? The Bible says it's a vapor like this. It comes and it goes. And see, we're here only for a short period of time, if we're honest about it. And again, you just cannot realize it as young folks. But as you get older, wow, it hits you in the face. You say, man, this time is flying. So, let's take a stand for the Lord, because this little short life that we got is going to be nothing compared to eternity. And what the decision that's made here and now, you know, we can't be midway. I'm not for, I'm not against. No mid place. You either are or you aren't a Christian. And there's no way around that. But, well, my parents or my grandma or this or that or, you know, yeah, they're all good and great. But it's got to be an individual thing. And, yeah, are you going to have some tough times at school or at work, folks? You have to listen to stuff at work and folks telling dirty jokes. And you're around this and you're around that. And, oh, man, you know, me being the boss when I had my job, all that ceased when I came around because they knew. So I didn't have to listen to that most of the time. Every now and then I'd have to listen to a little bit of it. But it's out there, and Satan is mulling, trying to keep things going, trying to keep us away from him. So what are we going? The world hated Jesus first, and he hates the world, folks, hates us. If you don't believe it, look what's said about the Christians on our airways and in the news. Christians are folks that's few bricks shy of a loaf. We just don't have it together. We don't understand. And we're far out and way behind, and we just don't know. Well, thank the Lord that he has caused us to be like we are. Thank the Lord that he's put you where you are, made you who you are. You know, sometimes I'd like to be somebody else. You know, you say, man, look at that person. They can do this and they can do that. Well, thank the Lord he made you just like you are. He put you just where you are to serve him, to honor him, and to glorify him. And that's what he wants us to do, and thank him for that. Ephesians 6:10, and that probably rings a bell with a lot of you. I remember back in Bible school years ago, if that was the scripture that we used one year, Jesus. This is not Saint John, it's John. Okay, I'm sorry. First John. No, it's not that one. I don't know. That's still okay. What? Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 6:10. Okay. Let me get here. Twist it up. Here it is. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what do we do to stand against this enemy that's out to do us in and to do in the church and to keep people from going to heaven and ruin this world and to ruin this country? What do we do? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against wiles of the devil. Keegan, could you put that little thing on that, pardon me? I want you to look at the screen here just a minute. This might be 2020 for you. Yeah. But he just slowly took off, and he was saved. So in Ephesians 6 and 10, put on the whole armor of God, and Pastor Grant has taught on this. We studied this on a Wednesday night for several weeks, and he's always trying to equip us folks to take a stand, to be a light, to shine forth for the Lord in the community that we live in. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We've been talking about that already. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. We'll be like a turtle, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, what we're going to do. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we could spend a lot of time on this, but we can't. And above all else, taking, this sticks out to me, the shield of faith. Have you had your shield of faith in front of you this week? If you have your shield of faith in front of you, no matter what Satan has thrown at you, that shield of faith is going to it can't get to us. I want to ask you something. Has God ever made a mistake? Never has. Has he ever made a mistake in your life? Never made a mistake in mine. Now, I've gone through some things like Gary was talking about Wednesday night. I didn't think I needed, wanted, or was good for me. But folks, either Romans 8:28 is correct or it's a lie. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do we need to let Satan keep our shield of faith down? It's laying off over here somewhere. And all of a sudden we turn on CNN or any of those other channels, maybe even Fox. Bam, bam, bam. This stuff's hitting us. Whoa, this world's in such a terrible mess. Folks, it is. Why is it? Because of him. Because of Satan. So what are we going to do? We're going to put our shield of faith up. Take the helmet of salvation. And here's our battle implement. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you into the Word as much as you need to be? I'm not. I need to be in it more. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, let's go, and I'm going to run just a little over. Bear with me. I didn't know if I had enough stuff, but I got a little bit too much. Matthew and 22. So how should we look in this world that we live in? Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So that's number one. That's the biggest one. What is the second one? This is the first and great commandment, and the second, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, it's not so hard for us to agree, yeah, we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and might. But this neighbor is our self stuff, man. I don't know about that, because this neighbor, he or she, or this one off over here, or off over here. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them. And who is our neighbor? Got some examples that this person used. Your neighbor's an immigrant, neighbor. Your neighbor's an addict. Your neighbor's an atheist. Your neighbor is your ex. A homeless person. A waitress or a waiter. The person you're mad at. Asian, Muslim, black, green, purple, yellow, red. Gay. Republican. Democrat. That's our neighbors. And the Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. Philippians 2 and 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Don't let me come up and tell you how wonderful I am. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been here, and I'm just wonderful. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Who is other here? These same folks I just mentioned. That we're to love other folks. Folks, is any of this stuff that I've just said aligned with what our world tells us? It doesn't. But we, as Christians, are to follow, no doubt, what Christ says. And he says, love the Lord thy God, mind, heart, soul, might, and thy neighbor as thyself, and then esteem others better. I want to go to Luke 8. I'll be ending here pretty quick. I want fathers to start off in here. Luke 8, 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. This is a parable Jesus is telling. Rather than going through the rest of the parable, we're going to go down to verse 12 and see what is meant by that first part of that parable as Jesus is explaining it to his disciples. 12 says, those by the wayside, that's what it was called, was said, are they that hear? Then cometh who? The devil. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You may have heard Pastor Grant offer the plan of salvation. He does that every week. Over and over and over again. But you would not and you will not get up and come down and show through a public profession of faith that you want to be saved. And you know, Satan is real. Because see, he is the one, it says right here. Then cometh the devil when the word is sent forth, and he takes that word out of their hearts, lest they should be saved. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as Savior, you need to come and accept him this day. Lord and Savior. Satan's going to try to keep you away. He doesn't want you to get saved. He wants you. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Folks, he wants to take as many of us as he can with him. He doesn't want us to come to know Jesus. He doesn't want us to be set free. If you're here and you haven't ever been set free, don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Just say, Lord, I realize you came to this earth, that you came from the glory of heaven to this old devil-infested earth, and you lived the life of a servant. You served humankind, and you gave your life on a cross for a sinner like me, and because of the blood that was shed on that cross, I can be saved. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Think about that. Don't let Satan win. And Christians, do we have to fight against Satan trying to tear us down? And the answer there is yes. I make a comment quite often in the teaching that it's a nursing home, that, and I've said it here before, the biggest problem I have every day is this right here, this person. Why do I have a problem with this person right here? Because Satan's trying to get me to go this way. Straddle a fence, not take a stand, but the Lord says, this is what I want. I can't straighten you out. Do good to straighten me out. But I need to stay on my toes to say, Lord, things are so bad, but what do you say in your word? What is the way that we should be looking at this world that we live in? Diane, would you come and play for us? Gary, would you come? We want to have an invitation.